Your guide to Merseyside sport. The Kickoff.
Radio City Talk.
Let's do Fan Friday with Jay and Mickey. Morning to you, gents.
Morning, chaps.
Morning, boys.
There we go, both on board. We'll start with Everton. They had their general meeting this week. What did you enjoy most about the general meeting, Mickey?
Probably the unpredictability of Fahad Mashiri. You know, I'm watching everyone else squirm as he talks.
Were you squirming, Mickey?
You're going to get to yet. You know, sometimes he's a bit too honest for his own good. But, you know, I suppose that's what fans want to know. They want to know the ins and outs. They want to know the nitty-gritty stuff. I'm just not too sure whether the AGM was the right place to do it.
Were you squirming yourself? Or actually, were you lapping up this conversation that he was having about Lukaku, for example, or Ross Barkley?
Yeah, a little bit of both, really. And obviously, the late-night phone calls of Jim White as well made me chuckle. It's one of them, isn't it, that, as I say, I think some things should be kept under wraps. So it is a little bit dangerous. But I just don't think he cares, does he? You know, he's one of them. I think he's fairly new, isn't he, into football. And he hasn't realised, I think, that, you know, some stuff should be kept in-house. But, it did make me chuckle, but a tad nervous at the same time.
Communication has never been Everton's finest hour, has it?
It hasn't. No, it hasn't, you know, and it's something really that needs addressing, I suppose, in you know, this day and age, with obviously the social media it plays a big part now, doesn't it, you know, in football. And as I say, it's something that Everton really do need to look into. Because, as I say, it was a shareholders' meeting. You know, it wasn't a fans' forum. So that's why I was slightly surprised that they went that way. But, as I say, he's the main man, so he can do what he wants, can't he?
They have almost turned into fans' forums. I mean, Jay, are you sort of relieved that Liverpool don't go through this process?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of them, though, isn't it? Sometimes, as a fan, you still want to know the ins and outs of what's going on. But I agree with what Mickey's saying. You know, sometimes certain things are best kept in-house, aren't they? And, you know, they shouldn't be revealed, really. And he is quite new, isn't he? And he seems, like, very enthusiastic, doesn't he? And some of the things he was saying, it seemed like he'd been on the aisle all night, hadn't it, really, before he made his speech. But, you know, sometimes you can look at it as being refreshing, but I think certain things do need to be kept private.
Right, lots of transfer talk at the moment. We'll start with Liverpool and their situation. Obviously, having lost Philippe Coutinho, there seems to be this sort of overdrive from the fans as to ideas as possible replacements in this month. Do you think the supporters are getting carried away, Jay?
I think, you know, when Coutinho wanted to go in the summer, I think Liverpool thought, and as fans, we all thought that we've bought a little bit of time now to try and get his replacement on board. So now January's come and the window's opened and he's obviously left the football club now. I think people want answers in terms of they want a replacement, but I think we're going to have to be patient even more. I think we're probably going to have to wait till the summertime for that to happen. I mean, Virgil van Dijk's come, £75 million, a lot of money really for the defender, a lot of money for any footballer really. And I think people have got to get into the real world. Like, part of that transfer fee was certainly to do with the fee of Coutinho. You know, Liverpool are not going to spend like silly amounts of money just for the sake of it. You know, Jurgen Klopp, he's very patient, isn't he? We've seen this with Naby Keita. He really wanted them, so he signed a deal to get him for obviously next summer. I know we're trying to bring that forward, aren't we, to get him in January time to pay a little bit of a premium. But it's the same with Van Dijk. People questioned him in the summer saying, you know, you didn't sign Van Dijk, so surely you had a plan B option. Now, he didn't have a plan B option because Virgil van Dijk was the man that he wanted. Waited a couple of months and he got his man in January. So it just goes to show, you know, Jurgen Klopp's the man that he wants certain players. And if he can't get them in this transfer window, then he'll wait until the summer.
Different conflicting messages coming out of the Leipzig camp at the moment. So you've got the manager saying he's not going anywhere. Naby Keita's going to be part of our team until the end of the season. You can understand why, because they've got Champions League football to fight for again. Of course, they dropped into the Europa League. And if they get in the Champions League, Liverpool will have to pay even more money. I think it's around £60 million. But then there's other reports saying Keita's sort of got his mind set on a January move. Is it going to happen, Jay?
Well, I've heard the stories that, you know, Michael Edwards is meant to be meeting with the officials from Leipzig to see what can happen now. Liverpool do want to bring his deal forward, you know, for this window. We want to get him, you know, within the next couple of weeks so he's integrated into the, you know, the city and into the team and into the league, really. The only thing is he can't play in the Champions League, can he, for us? Because he's already played for them in it this season. So we'd be able to play in the Premier League games and obviously the FA Cup. So, you know, it's going to cost a lot of money to get him on board, but Jurgen Klopp seems to want him. So But let's hope these talks progress well and he's a Liverpool player in the next couple of weeks.
I'm presuming that will have been thought about when the Coutinho deal was made as well.
Well, most definitely, because, you know, like I said before, Klopp's very patient, isn't he? So he probably hasn't identified yet who he wants to be and replace Coutinho. So he's probably going to wait until summertime for that. And if we can get Naby Keita now for, say, around £15 million in this window, then it's a no-brainer, really, isn't it? People are saying, well, let's keep hold of that money and put it on someone who's going to replace Coutinho. But the facts are, you know, in this day and age now, money's irrelevant, isn't it? You know, some of the prices for players is just astronomical. Manchester United started it with the silly price for Pogba, £89 million, and it's just gone off the scale now, you know. It's ridiculous. The last 18 months has just gone beyond the joke, really. So Liverpool are going to pay a little bit extra to get Keita in this window, then I'm all for it.
Mickey, I'd be absolutely intrigued to see what value you've got with the £27 million you've spent on Yank Tosin, who presumably will make his debut at Wembley, of all places.
Yeah, I'm not too sure about that, Steve. You know, I've got a feeling he might sort of go with Calvert-Lewin and save Tosin for the home game the following week. He's new, isn't he? He's a bit of an unknown quantity. He comes with a decent reputation, albeit in Turkish football. He's banged a few goals in, hasn't he, in the Champions League as well. But as you know, as I just said, he is a complete unknown quantity, and it's certainly something that needed addressing. Obviously, it should have been done 12 months ago when we realised that that we're going to have no Lukaku. So it's 12 months too late for me. But I doubt that he's going to play him at Wembley, mate. I think we're going to be under a lot of pressure. I don't think we're probably going to see much of the ball. And I've got a feeling he might go with Calvert-Lewin and maybe bring him on at some point during the game and then maybe make his home debut next week.
So not a place to throw him into the fray. Would you be happy with this transfer window if Tosin and Theo Walcott were two signings that have been completed by the end of January?
I would, to be honest. I think Theo Walcott ticks quite a few boxes for us. Obviously, we're looking for a bit of pace into our team. You know, we're looking for a bit of creativity and we're looking, you know, for a second goal scorer as well. Obviously, if the Nias sale goes through. So I think with a World Cup round the corner, I think he's got a fair bit to prove. Now, I know he's 28 and he hasn't got the greatest injury record, but I don't think there's too many miles on the clock with him because I don't think he's played much football, has he, especially over the last 2 years. And he has banged goals in for Arsenal and I think he can do a job either out wide or as a striker up front. So I think he certainly ticks a few boxes. 20 million quid, probably the going rate, as Jay was just saying then, in this ridiculous era of transfers. It looks like we can meet his wage demands. I think it looks like it's between us and Southampton. You know, you don't know whether he's going to want to go back home. I know he's been based down south, so whether a move up north would suit him. But for me, yeah, I think, you know, at 20 million quid, you know, the fact that he's available as well with a World Cup around the corner, I think ticks a few boxes for us.
Am I dreaming this, Jay, or have Liverpool in the past been linked with Theo Walcott?
Yeah, we've been linked with him quite a few times. He's meant to be a boiled red, isn't he, as well? So I'd be interested if he made the move to Everton. But you know, we've had a few Evertonians who've gone on to play for Liverpool and become legends at our club. So, you know, that's just what happens in football. It's a job to them, isn't it? But it's a strange one with Walcott. I mean, he's got a bit of pace, hasn't he? Not a bad player, but just think he lacks a little bit of football intelligence, really, and that's why he doesn't really play for Arsenal that much. But, you know, I suppose when you've got pace in this modern-day game, no pace kills in football, doesn't it?
We've hit January, and of course everyone is talking about the World Cup now, so it's relevant for Theo Walcott, it's relevant for Daniel Sturridge, who's been getting virtually no football, really, from what you'd expect from a footballer of his quality. So he's come out, and James Pearce writing in The Echo today, saying Sturridge happy to move on, but Liverpool saying pay £30 million for him. I really find it hard to see another Premier League club stumping up £30 million at this stage for Daniel Sturridge, or am I being a little bit unfair there?
No, not at all. I mean, I think you're looking at the inflated market, and maybe you're saying £30 million because of the inflated market, but let's get real about this now. Daniel Sturridge is not the same player he was a couple of years ago, is he? I mean, is he 27, 28 years of age? And, you know, to me, every time he starts games for Liverpool, it's like Liverpool are playing with 10 men, to be honest. You know, he's not the player he once was, and, you know, his head's not straight, is he? I mean, what happened to him? He went missing, didn't he, early in December, and then we never seen him again, did we, all over the Christmas period, and all of a sudden now he's back in training. But, you know, I think that the time has come to move him on, really. And yeah, you know, you can't question his goal-scoring ability. He does score goals, but, you know, his all-round game, he's just got nothing left in the tank for me. And, you know, you look at footballers sometimes and you say, you know, when they get into the 30s, sometimes you can label them as being finished. I think you could probably label out of Daniel Sturridge now, really. Maybe that's a bit harsh, but you know, he's on massive wages and he just doesn't give value for money, does he, Steve?
Will he still be at Melwood in February? I mean, should Liverpool compromise on their stance somewhat? I mean, the posturing, the £30 million, it's fine to start with, isn't it? But will they have to negotiate, go lower?
Well, look, we only paid £12 million for him, so in my eyes, as long as we got the money back on him, then you know, that surely would be acceptable because he's on big wages as well, so we need to get shut of him off the wage bill. I think it's 150 grand a week, somewhere around them regions. So you know, when you think about it, not many clubs are going to be queuing up, are they, to give him that type of wage. So what you've got to find is Liverpool might have to pay him off a little bit as well because you know, someone who's going to take him on board might only give him 80 to 100 grand a week, someone like a West Ham or something. So Liverpool are going to have to, you know, have a little bit of a, you know, we've got to give him a little bit of a payoff, which is not ideal, is it? So Liverpool have got to compromise on the price. And like I say, I'd take 12 million, what we pay for him.
Right, life without Coutinho starts here, of course. Mo Salah presumably is fit for this game at the weekend. And it's a tasty fixture as well, isn't it? Manchester City have been scrapping a few wins of late, but Liverpool and Man City this season have certainly been the teams you'd want to watch for goals.
Yeah, Liverpool and Man City are the two best attacking sides in the Premier League, without a shadow of a doubt. I mean, Man City, special football team this season, aren't they? You know, they haven't lost a game in the Premier League. They've only drawn two games, haven't they? They've been sensational, really. They've already virtually wrapped the league up, and it's just how many points they're going to win it by. But like I say, you look at this Manchester City side, though, and I'm not convinced by them defensively, really. I mean, John Stones is an accident waiting to happen. He's got an error or two in him, hasn't he? Otamendi, I can certainly see Liverpool getting at him. If you remember back to the game at the Etihad early on the season before Mane got sent off, Mo Salah was all over him and he got booked early on as well. So, you know, I think Liverpool can certainly get at them. And they've got Delph, haven't he? He's a midfield player playing at left back. And I know they've coped very well this season, but I just think coming up against the Liverpool side at Anfield with, you know, our attack and prowess could be a different ball game for them, and I'm expecting a classic, to be honest, Steve.
A classic. And for Everton, of course, game at Wembley. Brilliant stuff in The Guardian today. I mentioned this before, but this is written by Sasha Nakrani, who's saying that Sam Allardyce has got to be bolder. If he wants to stay at Everton Football Club, he's got to start playing football that Everton fans want to watch, Mickey.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, Sam Allardyce was brought in to do a job when we were really, really struggling, and I think he's halfway there to that. And I think once we reach that sort of that 40-point mark, I think he probably will be a bit more expensive. But I suppose, you know, when you're going to, you know, the top six, it is going to be backs against the wall, and we have got a, you know, the first point of call that he had to do was shut up shop because we were hemorrhaging in goals left, right and centre. Now, he seems to have done that to a certain extent, but obviously Evertonians, once that sorted, you want to see a bit more. I think we showed a little bit more in the cup game at Anfield. I think we've got players coming back now as well, with, you know, obviously Balassi, James McCarthy coming back. It looks like Sheamus is not too far away. So we're getting players back. And as I say, I think it's something that Allardyce is fully aware of. We do need to show a little bit more, you know, going forward. But at the same time, you know, we have got to sort of stop leaking goals.
Give us a score, Mickey.
Take a draw, Steve. 1-1 would do me.
That'll be fine. Jay?
I'm going to go for one of the old school classics, like when we used to have with Newcastle, to go for a 4-3 Liverpool win.
It's the one week where he hasn't chosen 2-1. You watch a 0-0. You watch a 0-0 come our way.
Boys, I'll take 2-1.
Thank you very much. Speak next week, guys.
Your guide to Merseyside sport. The kickoff.
Radio City Talk.